Well, I'm so glad to see you here today at Mission. If we've never met, if it's your first time here, whether somebody bribed you for lunch or whether you walked in on your own, we're so glad that you're with us today. My name's Joel. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Mission. And we've been in the middle of a series. We're actually concluding it over the next 2 weeks, but it started about 2 months ago. So in just a second, I'm gonna catch us up quick, but we're gonna conclude the series over the next 2 weeks. And I wanna give you a couple of information about a couple of things before we jump into today's message. First of all, if you weren't here, I know many of you were traveling last weekend on the 4th of July weekend, and Ryan Gard spoke last weekend. And if you missed last weekend's message, you need to watch it. I want you to watch it. For me, it was one of the best messages I've heard Ryan Gard give. It was fantastic. So it's on our website. It'll be there for free as long as the internet exists. So you can jump online and watch that. Feel free to share with a friend. I just thought it was so great that I thought it was worth highlighting to let you know about that. So make sure you check that out. Also, 2 weeks from now, we're this week and next week, we're going to conclude our wrestling series. 2 weeks from now, we're going to begin a brand new series called In This House. And this is literally, as we're starting this series, we're going to start talking about things that we want to be known for in our family, in our house here at Mission. Not only things that we've been known for in the past that we want to continue to hold up as values, but things that as we look into the New Testament, that Jesus and the Apostle Paul said, these are the things that you're to be known for as a body of believers. We're going to be talking about this, about how to treat each other. We're supposed to treat people who are outside of this place. And whether you're part of Mission or you have a friend who is not part of Mission, I guarantee you they're going to enjoy this series, especially if they're not part of our church, because in this series, we're going to talk about a bunch of things that are going to raise the bar for us. It's going to challenge us a little bit, but it's going to make them want to be a part of what God's doing here at Mission. So it's a great opportunity to invite somebody in 2 weeks. Okay, last thing. Next weekend, we're concluding our wrestling series, and if you've never been a part of a baptism weekend here at Mission, we're celebrating baptisms next weekend. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, so you're going to want to be here for that. You just can tell by that response. If you've never been here on baptism weekend, it's something you don't want to miss. So we're going to do that next weekend. Today, we're continuing our wrestling series, part 6 of our wrestling series. And if you haven't been here, I want to catch you up, because we've been talking in this series and we started with an extraordinary invitation of Jesus. And Jesus' invitation was, come to me. If you're wrestling, if you're struggling, if you're weary, if you're burdened, if you're broken down, you're beat down, you're run down, if you're facing challenges, however big or small, Jesus' invitation was, come to me. And it's extraordinary, because most of us, when we see people that are in the midst of challenges, we send them to somebody else. We send them to some self-help group, or we send them to some resource or to some seminar. We don't say, come to me, because we know what that takes on. But Jesus said, come to me. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of being associated with that. I'm not afraid of being dragged into that. I want you to come to me. And then he said this strange thing. He said, take my yoke. He said, come to me, take my yoke. Let's be yoked together. I want us to do this together. I want us to be bound together is what this means. Jesus said, come to me. Let's bind ourselves together. And I want you to learn from me. In the midst of this struggle, in the midst of the challenges, we're going to do this together, and I want you to learn from me. And the promise is, if you'll come to me and you'll connect yourself with me and you'll learn from me in the midst of your wrestling, your struggles, you will find rest in the midst of your wrestling. And that's, if that's not good enough, you can find rest amid, not apart, from your wrestling. That's the promise. And the reason that's good news is because some of you are wrestling with things, you've been struggling with things that you've been struggling with all your life, and you know it's not going away anytime soon. And the truth is you want to find some rest and relief, and that's what Jesus promises. So we've been talking these last weeks about finding rest, learning from the scriptures, from the word, about how to find rest in the midst of all the things we're wrestling. We've talked about wrestling with our past. We've talked about wrestling with forgiveness, wrestling with love and acceptance. We've talked about wrestling with doubt. And if you missed any of that, you can go online and catch up on any of those messages. But we've been talking about all those things. And some of those, you sat here for some of those weeks, you go, oh, I know somebody needs to hear this. Here's the good news, because we all do that when we come to church, don't we? Today, this one's for all of us. Because today, this isn't one of those things where you're going to go, oh, I got a friend who struggles with that. This is a wrestling match we all deal with. And today, we're going to talk specifically about wrestling with temptation. And finding rest, because the Apostle Paul said that we can find rest in the midst of temptation. And temptation is something we all deal with. It's something none of us can escape. And instead of giving you my thoughts and my observations about temptation, where it comes from, and some introductory thoughts, I thought I'd let Paul give us his introductory thoughts. So if you have a Bible and you want to open to 1 Corinthians 10, you're welcome to do that. We're just going to look at one verse. We're going to spend the most of our time in Ephesians 5. So you might just want to flip over there, because we're going to look at one verse and then we're going to jump to Ephesians 5. But in 1 Corinthians 10, The Apostle Paul makes some extraordinary observations about temptation that are really important for us as introductory thoughts as we talk about how to wrestle with temptation. This is so important. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, no temptation, there's not one. There's not any temptation in life that has overtaken you. Some of you, in your translation, it says has seized you or has taken hold of you. There's no temptation that has seized you or overtaken you except what is common to mankind. There's no temptation that has seized you except what is common to mankind. Some of you, this is new for you. Maybe you've heard this verse before, but what Paul's doing is something that's really important. In fact, in psychology, this is called normalizing. And this is so important for us as an introductory thought. Paul's first claim is there's not one temptation that you're dealing with to any degree that you are experiencing that nobody has ever experienced before. Somebody has wrestled with the same thing you've wrestled with. Some have won that wrestling match, some have lost. Regardless, it's not unique to you. Some of us, we need to hear that today. You're not alone. Paul's saying, what you're experiencing is common. There's no temptation that you're wrestling with that isn't common to all mankind. There's more. That's what he says. He says, and God is faithful. So there's nothing that's uncommon that you're wrestling with. And God is in the midst of this. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Some of you are going, no. I've been tempted beyond what I can bear. Trust me. I've gone over the edge. And Paul's saying, no, I understand that. But it is possible to overcome the temptation that you're in the midst of. It is possible to find a way out. In fact, he goes on, he says this, but when you are tempted, this is third observation, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it or you can endure it. Some of your translations say stand up under it. Paul does something really interesting here. He says he's gonna provide an escape or a way out, but it's not what you think. It's not to get out from underneath this, because some of you know the wrestling matches and the struggles that you're facing, they're not going away. And he says, even if that's true, you can endure it. You can stand up under it. You can find relief. You can find rest even under the weight of the heaviest of temptations. Now, these are extraordinary observations of Paul. And there's a reason Paul can say this. The reason he can say it's common, the reason we can overcome it is because temptation is actually fueled by distorted appetites. Some of you know this, that sin doesn't create anything new. Sin only distorts things that God has created. Sin and the enemy, they don't have the power to create. They only have the power to distort. And what's happened is many of us have appetites that have been hardwired into us. God designed you with certain appetites. And what the enemy does is he distorts and he twists those appetites. And when we wrestle with temptation, what we're really trying to do is tame an unruly or tame a distorted appetite in our lives. Some of you, God's created you, and these are the big three. God's created us all with a desire for significance. Now, we all experience these appetites to different degrees. But we all have a desire to be significant. Some of you have never heard this before. Nobody's ever told you. Do you know that God wants you to feel significant? You are significant to God. He wired you that way. God himself is significant. He created you in his image, and you are his most prized creation. And you are significant, and he created an appetite in you for significance because you are. And he wants you to feel significance as one of his most significant creations. Others of us, we have an appetite for pleasure. And that's also something that's a mark of God's design in our lives, of being designed in the image of God. Some of you have never heard this. Do you know that you were created for God's pleasure? That's what the scripture teaches. Some of you are going, oh, I think I'm a menace to God. I'm creating problems. Like, no, God, there's no way God has pleasure in me. No. The scripture says God created you for his pleasure. And God created you as a pleasure-seeking being in his image. And because of that, he wants you to experience pleasure. And he has created a legitimate appetite in you for pleasure. And he wants to meet that appetite so that you can experience pleasure. We were also all created with the capacity and an appetite for intimacy. And it's a desire we have. It was true that God was enjoying extraordinary intimacy before man was ever created. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were taught in the scriptures. We're all there in the beginning. And I don't know how to explain this perfectly, but there were three beings that had full access to one another. And there was an intimate relationship. And when God created you in his image, he created you with a desire and an appetite for intimate relationship.
That's what God wanted for you from the very beginning. It was part of his original design. And what's happened in the world and what's happened in our life is even though we were created and designed in these ways, the enemy through sin, when sin entered the world, the enemy has twisted and is distorting our appetites, these common appetites that we all experience, again, to different degrees. And when he distorts those appetites, we become tempted. And the greater the degree of the appetite that we experience, and there's lots of subsets of all these things, but the greater the degree that we have an appetite for those things, to that degree, we'll be tempted in our lives. And what happens is common appetites that are distorted, don't miss this. This is really wordy. Common appetites that are distorted result in chronic temptations that are destructive. I'm gonna say it again. Common appetites that we all have, when they become distorted, they turn into chronic or recurring temptations that are destructive in our lives. Here's how I know that's true, and some of you, you know this is true. It's because my guess is you don't wake up every day and go, oh, there's a brand new temptation. I've never been tempted by that before. In fact, I don't ever have that conversation with myself. Oh, way to go, Satan. You got me on that one. I didn't see that one coming. I regularly have the conversation, oh my gosh, I did it again. I fell for that again. And isn't it true that most of us, we deal with the same things recurring over and over and over. And he takes the same appetites in our lives and he distorts them. And he hangs out some bait of temptation and we take the bait over and over and over. When I was a kid, we used to go on vacation to the Thousand Islands. So how many of you knew that was an actual place, not a salad, just a salad dressing? Anybody in here? Okay, so just a few of you. It's actually a place. It's a beautiful place. Don't think tropical when you think of islands, but because it's in the northeast. It's in the northeast corner of Lake Ontario where it flows into the St. Lawrence River. There's actually a place called the Thousand Islands. When I was a kid, we used to go on vacation there. And we had some really great friends. They were really great friends because they owned an island in the Thousand Islands. Those are always great friends to have. And they used to let our family go there in the summer. And so we would go there in the summer. And when I was little, I learned to fish there. My dad would take us out. And we started in the boathouse because there's a bunch of little fish hiding out underneath the dock. And, you know, in a hot summer day, they're hiding out underneath the dock in the shade. And so literally all we would do is we would just drop a hook into the water with a little piece of worm. We actually were cheap. We just split the worms in half because you didn't need a whole worm. In fact, I'm not even convinced you really needed a worm. You drop that in the water and you have a fish on the end of your hook. And I grew up thinking this is what fishing was, which is why I don't fish anymore because it's not really like that. But I just would drop the hook in the water and you'd have a fish in seconds. And me and my brother and sister, we had an appetite for this. This was awesome. We got this competition, all three of us. It wasn't really fair because my dad would take the fish off my sister's hook so she could get back in the water faster. But me and my brother and sister, we're constantly, I have an older brother, younger sister. We're having this competition and literally there's probably 30, 40, 50 fish in the water. We're just dropping the hook in, pull them out, dropping the hook in, pull them out, take them off the hook. And then at one point, as we're competing, my mom's keeping score, to be fair. At one point, I'm pulling the hook out of this fish's mouth, and there's all sorts of holes in this fish's mouth, and I realize, I think I just caught you a minute ago. I mean, you look like you've been caught 10 times in a row. And this same fish, I was convinced we had caught over and over and over. And I wanted to just yell at the fish because I knew it couldn't hear me. I just wanted to yell at the fish, it's a hook! And the truth is that's what happens for us, isn't it? Is the enemy just throws the same bait in front of us over and over and over. And we jump on the hook. And we take the same bait. And here's why, don't miss this. It's because you have an appetite for something. And when that appetite isn't being fulfilled, you try to fulfill it in ways God never intended for you to fulfill it. It's a legitimate appetite. But when it's satisfied, when it's attempted to be satisfied in illegitimate ways, it creates destruction in our lives. It leads to destructive behaviors. For some of you, in your search for significance, you're trying to make something of yourself. You're trying to climb a ladder, and it was a beautiful thing years ago, some of us don't even remember this, when they created one of these. Because you could get a lot more done. You could take your work home with you. You no longer had to be at work 9 to 5. It got even better when they made these, right? Because you can work anywhere with this. That's a little more cumbersome because that's a laptop. This you can just hold in your hand. You can take this. Nobody really knows your work and you could be doing anything. You know, you whatever, you surf in the web, but you're working. You can continue to work. You could get a lot more done. And even more recently, the truth is you can just about do anything you want to do on one of these, can't you? And you can stay connected all the time. And you can accomplish way more. In fact, you can work with those other devices, but you can work, and some of you do, in your car, on your way to and from places. It's not safe for the people around you, but you do it, don't you? And so do I. And we're tempted because we're trying to make something of ourselves and you're trying to feel significant. And the more you can accomplish, the more you can build, the faster you can build it, the more significant you feel. Others of us, it's not through work. It's through purchasing things. And the truth is you got a few of these. Maybe you have a stack like this. I just say real quick, these aren't all mine, by the way. I had to pull some people backstage, but you got a whole bunch of these things. And you go out and you're trying to buy something. Every new event is an excuse to buy something new because you have an image to uphold. And you want people to know that you're significant. And so you got to look good. And you got to dress the part. And you're trying to create an image or facade that makes you feel significant to other people because you're craving their affirmation. You're craving their attention. And so you pull out one of these and you go to buy something and they're like, oh no, I'm sorry, that one doesn't work. And you're like, okay, well, let me try this one. Does this one work? Well, that one didn't work either. Okay, how about this one? That one works? Okay, good. Let's use that one. And we go, we just load up a bunch of these things because some of you, you're trying to feel something. You're trying to experience something. You're trying to create the facade of something. You're trying to live a certain lifestyle that will make you feel this ultimately. You want to feel significant. There's another beautiful new invention. Some of you have seen this before. How many of you know what this is, real quick? Okay, now if you don't know what this is and everybody's commotion around you, God bless you because you're the most spiritual among us, okay? I'll just say this one isn't mine, but this thing right here has been created to make us feel significant. And this thing right here, you can tell I don't know what I'm doing because I put it on the wrong way. This thing right here is called a selfie stick. And this selfie stick has been created to make us feel better about our selfies, right? It's not enough to take a selfie and say, hey, look at me, look, I'm with my friends, I'm doing something awesome. It's now I've got a selfie stick that can take a better picture to get a little further away so I can say, oh, hold on a second, I gotta get all my friends in the picture here real quick. Passcode, important. Okay, everybody look, oh, look at me, there I am. I am not in the picture yet, where am I? So I don't even know how to use the thing. I can't even find myself. Oh, I gotta turn the camera around. There we go. There I am now. See, I told you I don't know what I'm doing. See, look, she's waving. It's like, see, you can feel significant with me. Okay, here we go. Here we go, 1, 2, 3. There I am. There you are. You're gonna see yourself later on social media. And here's what we do. Here's what we do. We take pictures of our selfies trying to be significant. And then what we do is we go post them online in places, don't we? We go tell other people about it. Here, look what I'm doing. And we go online to all sorts of places. And we post these things online and then we check them over and over. And we're looking for one really powerful little thing right there. That thing. We want that thing right there, don't we? And the more times that gets pressed, the more times that number shows up, the better we feel about ourselves and we laugh. But it's true. And some of us, we check hundreds of times a day. Because we want other people. We need somebody to tell us something that we have an appetite for. And that is that we're significant. And there's all sorts of ways we're trying to fulfill that in illegitimate ways, in ways God never intended. For others of us, it's pleasure. And there's all sorts of pleasure-seeking things that we do. But for some of us, we come home and because you don't enjoy your job and maybe home life's hard, maybe you have little kids, maybe you're going through a difficult thing in your marriage, or maybe you don't have a family at all, you're not married, and you go home to an empty house and your life's just not going the way you thought it was gonna go and you're not experiencing much pleasure in life. We come home and what we do is we try to medicate. We try to do all sorts of things just to feel okay, to feel good. And there's things that were created for good reasons, to help people. And we've distorted them. We've allowed the enemy to distort an appetite that we have. And we begin to use and abuse things to feel something that we crave. And the enemy keeps dangling the bait in front of us. And we take it over and over and over. Now, this isn't super vulnerable, but I just felt like I need to share one of mine. This is mine. You've heard of comfort foods, right? Comfort foods get that name for a reason. This is one of my comfort foods. And it's not just like I eat one, because that's Lay's. You can't eat just one of these. I can't eat just one package of these things. I love these things. And I'll just say this, if you're a purist, I used to be a purist. I came out a little while ago, and the golden Oreo is better than the regular Oreo, I'm telling you. If you don't believe me, you should try it. I got a believer right over here. Thank you very much. Testify right there. The golden Oreo is amazing. And this is how this works in my house when I've had a hard day and I didn't realize this. And this is crazy. Some of you are going, this is our pastor. Like, I was talking to my counselor and she's going, say, so you're going through a tough season. Like, well, how do you, this is years ago. It's not right now, but years ago. Hey, you're going through a tough season. Like, how are you, what are you doing? How are you coping with that? We all do things to medicate, to be okay. What are you doing? And I was like, nothing. I don't know. Like, I think I'm holding on to it and it's like boiling. She's like, no, you're doing something. And I was like, well, I can't think of anything. She goes, well, how are your eating habits? I said, well, you know, I like golden Oreos. Tell me about that. Well, here's how it goes. We get into bed at night. We'll lay in there. Good night. We say good night. You know, we're laying in bed. Lights are out, dark. After a few minutes, I'll say, hey, babe, you awake? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, nothing. Just checking. Good night. Love you. Love you. Hey, Jen, you awake? Jen. Out the bed, down the hall, into the kitchen, truthfully. Start at the refrigerator. I need a tall, ice-cold glass of 2% milk. It's important. 2% milk. It's got to be 2% milk. Whole milk, skim milk, doesn't work. I need 2% milk. I get an ice cold glass of 2% milk, and then I get the package of Oreos, and if there's an open package of Oreos, there will be no Oreos in it in the morning if I get out there in the middle of the night. And what I would do in my most stressful, most difficult times, I'd go, and you've got to dunk it in that milk for just the right time, which is about 4.5 seconds, and stir it around just a little bit, and it's one bite, and it's gone. It's beautiful. You just dip it, and then you take it, and it's gone. And after you've eaten a package of these, that ice-cold milk goes down so smooth. It's awesome. The reason I tell you that, as silly as that is I recognized that there was a part of me that when I was struggling, when I was wrestling, when for me I was experiencing difficulty and life wasn't so fun, I had to find a way to medicate. I had to find a way to deal with that, and we all do that. Some of us, we crave. We have an appetite for intimacy. And you desire to be intimate. And the internet and the access to pornography and all sorts of things. There's all sorts of ways that this gets twisted and distorted into ways that we think we can experience this, but we never do. And we get baited over and over and over. And at this point, some of you are really nervous about what I'm about to pull out of this box right here. But there's nothing in this box. And the reason is because I can't go to the stores to shop for the things that we would need to put in this box to illustrate this. Because I like to eat and live indoors, and then my job would be in jeopardy if I was caught in those places buying things. But here's the thing. Is some of you, and a crowd this size, come on, I mean no condemnation, okay? Real quick. I mean no condemnation. Some of you in a crowd this size, there is somebody in here, maybe somebody's, who you have already made your secret rendezvous appointment with somebody who is not your spouse. And you're wrestling. And here's what I want you to hear. That is an appetite that was given to you by God that is inside of you, craving something you're not experiencing in life. And the enemy is twisting and distorting that. And that's led you to act out in that way. Some of you are thinking, really? There's somebody here that's done that? Yeah, there is. There's somebody last night after the service came and told me, that's me. That's true. In a crowd this size, there's probably multiple people. And some of you are going, I can't imagine, I would never do that. You probably wouldn't, but you've probably watched it online, haven't you? And because pornography is so easily accessible and you can do it in private, nobody has to know, you've pursued that. For you, maybe it's not sexual. Maybe it's an emotional intimacy that you crave. And maybe your husband travels for work or your wife travels for work, and you've been tempted to open the door to somebody else in your life that you could be close with. Maybe it's somebody who works from home, or maybe it's a trainer at the gym. I don't know who it is in your life, but there's somebody in your life you've opened the door to. And the truth is you're craving something that's being distorted, and it's gonna lead to something destructive. And when we can't satisfy the appetites in our lives in healthy ways, We're always tempted to do it in ways that God never intended. And here's the thing you need to know. We almost always are tempted. The losing that we do to wrestling matches almost always happens in the same place. It happens in darkness. It almost always happens in darkness. And the reason it happens in darkness is because it's in secret. We can do it in hiding. Nobody has to know. Nobody gets hurt. And the Apostle Paul talks about this very dynamic. He talks about the danger of darkness. If you have your Bible open to Ephesians 5, in Ephesians 5 in verse 8, this is what the Apostle Paul says. This is what he says related to temptation, but specifically about darkness. He says, for you were once darkness, meaning you were in the state of darkness, meaning at one point, regardless of who you are, at some point in your life, you not only lived over here, this was the state of your life. You saw in darkness, you bumped around in darkness, you stumbled around in darkness trying to find your way through life. But if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are now light in the Lord. You've moved from a state of darkness to a state of light. You are actually light in the Lord. That's the hope of the gospel. You were once darkness. You were once stumbling around. You didn't understand. You couldn't see. But now through Jesus Christ, who is the light, who came into the light, John 1 tells us, he came into the light and his life was the light of all mankind. And the darkness did not overcome the light. The light overcame the darkness. In Christ, you are now light. So Paul says this, he says, so live. Live as children of light. Don't live over there in the darkness. It's possible for you, if you're a child of the light, it's possible for you to live in darkness. In fact, some of you have done this. You spent time over here in darkness. In fact, some of you right now, you're spending time in darkness. Paul says, don't do that. That's not who you are. You are a child of the light. And you should live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Over there is wickedness and brokenness and deceit. I don't want that for you. And in the light, you experience goodness and righteousness and truth. And this is so important. And in the light, you find out what pleases the Lord. You want to know what pleases the Lord? You want your life to please the Lord? You live in the light because you are a child of the light. And then he tells us how to break the temptations, the power of the temptations we're dealing with. He goes on, he says this, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them to the light. Nothing good happens over there. It's like your parents when they said, nothing good happens after midnight. Basically, it's the same idea. That's where this comes from. Nothing happens good in the darkness, in secret, in hiding. Nothing good happens over there. The way to break the power of temptation, the way to break the power of the distorted appetites that are wrestling you to the ground in life is to bring them into the light, to take the things that are in this box, and as difficult as it is, open it up and bring them out in the light for other people to see. You know what this is a church word. There's a church word that describes this, and it's this word right here, confession. Our Catholic brothers and sisters are better at this than we are. And the truth is there's a confession is an important thing and it's a powerful thing. Don't miss this. This is so important. Some of you need to hear this today. Some of you, you're so scared about exposing and bringing these things to the light, but Paul's saying, this is how you break the power of the thing that keeps wrestling you to the ground over and over and over. And it's pinning you to the ground in life and you don't ever think you're gonna win over it. But some of us are one simple confession away from stripping temptation of its power in our lives. You're one simple confession away. Today might be your day. Today might be the day that you win the wrestling match for the first time. You begin to turn the tide. You start to break free of that thing that's wrestling you to the ground, that's been beating you up over and over and over. And Paul says, if you want to win that, the way to break the power of darkness is to expose them to the light. There's a reason we don't do it. Paul's so smart. Look at this next verse. This is why we don't do it. For it's shameful. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. It's shameful. Some of you, you've been carrying guilt and shame around for a long time because of things you've done or maybe the things you're in the midst of. And if that's you, don't miss next week. We're going to spend a whole week talking about wrestling with guilt and shame because you can find freedom. You can find rest from that too. But we're going to talk about that next week. But this is the reason that we hide out over there. It's shameful to talk about those things, to mention what the disobedient do in secret. And we've bought a lie that if it's in secret, nobody's getting hurt. And we've bought the lie that there's safety over here in darkness. And as long as nobody finds out, we're going to be okay. And if we just keep it a secret, and so we push it further and further and further into darkness. And the truth is what is done in secret is so dangerous. And we think, oh, nobody knows. It's not going to hurt anybody, but you know. And it's hurting you. And for those of you who are over here in the dark with me, I'm not saying today that you're the ones that are dealing with all the temptation because you're sitting in the dark. I mean, if God puts you over here out of providence, I mean, I'll let you deal with that, okay? I don't know about that. I'm not making that comment. But here's what you need to know. Don't miss this. Here's what you need to know. Those people who are over there in the light right now, they can't see any of us, none of us. It's the way it works. They've got the light in their eyes. They're living in the light. And the reason they can't see us is because what we're doing is in secret, or doing is in darkness. And the people that we need the most can't even see what's going on in our lives. That's why this is so dangerous. That's why it's so dangerous to have secrets. Secrets are powerful. Secrets are devastating to your life. Secrets. In fact, here's the truth about secrets. Secrets make people sick. They do. Clinically, they make people mentally and emotionally sick. They can lead to a breakdown. And some of you have secrets in your life, and you're worried about exposing them because if somebody finds out, and what if they find out, and the truth is, some of you are going, well, it's not everybody's business anyway, but that thing is continuing to beat you to the ground, and it's owning you because it's in secret, it's in darkness, and the people that could help you, the people who are free that are in the light, they can't even see you in darkness. They don't even know you're there. They don't know that you're wrestling with, because what you're doing is in secret, and it will continue to plague you. Now, some of you, I just have to deal with this objection real quick. Some of you, you have an objection, and your objection is this, that it's not a secret, it's private. So I just want to set the record straight, because some of you are going, it's not a secret, it's just not everybody's business. You know, my pile of debt that I have, or the relationship that I'm having, or the pornography, I mean, it's not everybody's business, and everybody doesn't need to know, and I'm working on it, and I'm gonna do better. And so some of you are going, you know, it's not a secret, it's private. So let me just set the record straight between secret and private. Some of you, this is going to bother you. Please don't send me emails about this. I'll just apologize up front. Here's my apology. I'm sorry. But after the service, I'm going to go backstage and I'm going to use the bathroom in private. Okay? I'm going to use the bathroom in private because I'm a person just like you. I ate a healthy breakfast this morning. I had 2 cups of coffee. I drank a lot of water today. And after the service, I'm going to go back and I'm going to use the restroom in private. It's not a secret, especially not now. It's not a secret. I'm going to do it in private and you're not welcome to come. Okay? I'm going to do it in private. It's not a secret. It's private. Your concealed debt, your covert rendezvous, your closet drug, alcohol, and porn consumption is not private. It's a secret sin. That's the truth. And it is killing you, and it's wrestling you to the ground. And it's in secret, and it's in darkness. And here's what you need to know. Don't miss this. You will never win wrestling with temptation in the dark. Temptations always win in the darkness. It is impossible. It's never been done. It never will be done. The only thing that overcomes what's done in darkness is the light. You have far less to lose by exposing it to the light. Some of you are thinking, no, you don't understand. I'll lose a lot. I may lose everything. Do you know what will happen if I expose it to the light? I do. I've seen it over and over and over. But isn't it true? Come on. Isn't it true? It's only a matter of time. I mean, you can do things in darkness for a long time, but eventually the things that are in darkness, they get brought into the light. Some of you have seen this. You've seen this in your life. You've seen it in other people's lives. Eventually those things get exposed. And so here's the deal. You can either choose to expose them. You can choose to reach out to some people who love you, who care for you, who are mature, who you know will come around you. And you yourself can come clean and offer that information to people who love you, and they can hear it from you now. Or you can wait, and you can continue to allow the exponential consequences of the distorted appetite that you're losing to its temptation in private and in darkness and in secret, you can let it snowball. And eventually it will come to light, and a whole bunch of people that don't really care about you, don't really know you personally, aren't really on your side, aren't gonna come around you, aren't gonna handle it mature ways, can tell everybody else and the people that are closest to you what's going on with you later when the consequences are much greater. Or they can find out from you now. See, the options are this: some level of embarrassment because it's shameful now, and some level of consequences now. I don't wanna minimize that. Or option two, greater levels of hurt and brokenness later. Some of you are thinking, no, I'm in too deep. It's too difficult. Here's what you need to know. Don't miss this. It will get worse. I guarantee it. I've seen it happen over and over and over. The fruit of the deeds of darkness grow exponentially the longer they're in secret. Don't wait. So I'm gonna give you an out. Whether you're dealing with something where there's tremendous consequences or it's a little bit of embarrassment, I just peaked one time, I just started talking with this person, I need to cut off this relationship, I've got this habit, this spending habit, I've got this recreational habit, whatever it is, I want to give you a way out today. I want to give you a way to stand up under it, to expose it to the light, to break the power of temptation. So here's what I want everybody to do. Every single person here, whether you intend to follow through, whether you intend to do this or not, I want you to pull out your cell phone. I want you to pull it out right now, everybody. And it's important to me, everybody plays. I want everybody to play. Because there's some people in here who need to do this, and they're not gonna do it if they think they're the only one, or people are looking at them going, oh, well, I'm applying the sermon, everybody's looking at me, I'm doing it. So we're all gonna do it. And the truth is most of us need to do this. Because some of us have something that's really, really small that's going on that we've been tempted by, and we fall into a little bit, and we need to tell somebody. We need to expose it to the light. And others of us are dealing with something that's really massive, and you need to tell somebody as a first step out of darkness. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to start a text message. I want you to find somebody in your phone that you respect. Some of you already know this person. It's somebody that loves you, somebody that's a mature believer. Maybe it's somebody who's a part of your small group leader. Maybe it's a staff member. Maybe it's one of the pastors on our staff. And I want you to send them a text message that says four words. I don't want you to send it yet, but I want you to type these four words. These are the four words. I need to talk. That's it. I need to talk. Now, you're not telling them anything yet, but you're gonna take a step towards the light. I need to talk. That's the text message you're gonna send. Don't send it yet. The reason is because if you send it, they're gonna send something right back and everybody's gonna know. Everybody's gonna go, oh, their phone's busted. They must have sent the message. I wonder what's going on with them. We don't need all that, okay? In a second, we're all gonna send it together. I'm gonna have you turn off your phones because I don't want all your phones buzzing in the service either. So you're gonna send a text message and send it off. But before you send it, here's what I want you to know. Some of you are tempted not to send it. You're tempted not to send it. And I'll just say this real quick. Don't send it to somebody who's over here in the dark because they can't help you. If you're sending it to the person that's struggling over here with you, that's involved in the covert rendezvous with you, they can't help you. They're not gonna help you out of darkness. Don't send it to them. I don't mean literally the people sitting over here in the dark. I just mean somebody that's in darkness themselves, don't send it to them because they're not gonna help you. But somebody in here, because of this thing's got such a hold on your life and darkness and it's in secret, and it's been secret such a long time, you're tempted. You're tempted not to send it because you think, I can't face what the consequences are gonna be. You don't understand, it's too difficult. So I wanna give you something to hold on to. This is beautiful. Because some of you, all you can see is what's right in front of that. If I send that text message and I actually follow up and tell somebody what's actually going on, I mean, I could lose my job, I could lose my family. There's all sorts of things that could happen. There's all sorts of danger that could happen. You're tempted not to send it, but here's what I want you to know. That is true in the short term. There will be consequences, there will be difficult things to face with. But Paul tells us how this ends. He gives us a promise about how this always ends. And this is what he says in this very next verse. He says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Some of you are going, yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I don't want people to see it. I don't want people to know. That's when the consequences are come. But keep reading. And everything that is illuminated, or everything that's visible, becomes a light. This is so important. Somebody else in darkness down the road needs your light. And this is the beauty of the promise of the gospel, that God can take things that are in darkness, that are shameful, that are difficult, and he can redeem them. And we get to participate And this is what he says. He says, Paul already said these words. If you'll bring them into the light, if you'll bring them into the light, first of all, you'll experience the pleasure of the Lord. You'll discover what pleases the Lord. You're going, no, it won't please him. If I bring this into the light, it's going to be shameful. It's destructive. God is opposed to all these things. And Paul says, no. If you bring it into the light, it pleases the Lord. Secondly, it not only pleases the Lord, but it will be a light unto itself, and it will be a beacon of hope. It will be a lighthouse to people who are in darkness who need to see your light. God will redeem whatever you're wrestling with in darkness. Whatever that thing is in secret that's been destructive in your life, God can make it a light for other people. That's how this ends. And I know it seems overwhelming in the short term, but that's how this ends. That's the promise of the scripture. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of what Jesus does, the light of the world that has overcome darkness. So send the text message. Some of you, you brought your spouse up. I just got to say this. Some cases, they're not the first person. I'm not saying you should keep secrets from your spouse, but they may not be the first person to tell. But you need to tell somebody. Somebody needs to know. Years ago, my wife said to me, I was telling her about some things. I said, I don't know how much you want to know about this struggle for me. And she's like, you know what? I don't really want to know, but I want to know that somebody knows. And the same is true for you. Somebody needs to know. You don't want to do that in darkness. You don't want to stay in darkness and continue to wrestle with and lose over and over. The temptations are powerful because you have a powerful appetite in you. Here's what I promise you. If you'll bring those things into light, those appetites will be met in incredible, legitimate ways, and you can actually be satisfied in the light. It pleases the Lord. Others will find hope, and you can find satisfaction. You can find fulfillment in legitimate ways by living as children of the light. So don't live over there anymore. Take the step. Find hope. Find freedom from what's in darkness by stepping into the light. Let me pray for you. God, I pray as we conclude our service today, as we finish with this song of hope, this song of the truth of who you are, the truth of the way you see us. You're not put off by any of this. You see us as your children. And as your children, you're going, no, that's not who you are anymore. You're my children. Come over here and live with me in the light, because that's what pleases me, is when you come with me over here in the light. I pray for somebody who's here today and they're teetering. They haven't sent the message. They don't intend to. I pray that you would bother them over and over and over for the rest of the day, maybe for the rest of the week, maybe for the rest of the month, and eventually they would relent and they would expose what's in secret into the light, that they would find freedom in the light. They would find hope in the light. They would find peace. They would find life in the light. God, I pray today for people who sent a text message. I pray that they would follow up. I pray that this first step is one thing, but they haven't really unveiled anything. I pray that when that response comes, when do you want to talk? Where do you want to talk? How should we get together? When they actually sit down to have the conversation, I pray you give them the courage to expose it all, not just a portion of it, all of it into the light. They would bring it to the light and find freedom. God, I pray for the people who are receiving text messages today. I pray for that they would have maturity. I pray that they would know how to handle these things. They'd be great stewards of the information that somebody's going to trust to them, that they would bring your life and your care and your mercy and your love around the people who are reaching out, who are wanting to come out of darkness and into the light. Pray that you would use them to lead others to the peace and the hope and the enjoyment of living life in the light. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.